This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
You know what? I think today that God's going to speak to your heart, because I believe God's given me a message for all of us today. I believe he's given me a message that can help us in our lives today. So I want to look at Acts chapter 27, and we're going to unpack that a little bit for us as we look at it. In fact, Acts 27 was part of our Project 345 this week on Wednesday. If you read your Project 345, you read this story. And I'm going to take away four different points from it this morning. I'm going to start off with two verses in verse 13 and verse 15. And then we're going to dive down into this message today. It says, "When a gentle south wind began to blow, they thought they had obtained what they wanted. So they weighed anchor and sailed along the shore of Crete. Before very long, a wind of hurricane force." The wind started to blow. They're on this ship. Wind started to blow. The rain started to come. It was tossing the ship back and forth. It said this storm was called the Northeasterner. It swept down from the island, and the ship was caught by the storm. Everybody say those words, caught by the storm. Come on, everybody say it. Ready? Caught by the storm. It's a key point today. "And they could not head into the wind, so we gave way to it and were driven along." There's a storm that came, and as they were there, this hurricane came upon them, and the boat was caught in the storm, and it was tossed back and forth. Let me ask you a question here today. How many of you have ever been caught in a storm before? Anybody caught in a storm? I know I have. I grew up in Pennsylvania. I grew up in a little town right next to Hershey, PA, where they make the sweetest chocolate in the world. In fact, in the summertime, if you're playing outside and the wind was blowing from the west, you could smell chocolate being made as you were outside. How many would love to grow up in that little area? In fact, we gained like 5 pounds every summer just smelling the chocolate. It was all part of it. But growing up in the Northeast in the winter times, there's storms that come up the East Coast, and they call them nor'easters. And it would dump a foot, 2 foot, 3 foot, sometimes 3.5 foot of snow at one snowstorm. In fact, let me show you some pictures of one of our last snowstorms when we were living in Pennsylvania. And this is near our house, a little covered bridge here, a little bridge, and you can see the snow there, how much it mounted up in the little side street, how much the snow was there. Beautiful area. In fact, Joyce and I have been in July, we'll be here 7 years, and we're always asked, "Now, do you miss living in Pennsylvania?" And I go, "No, I don't miss going out there in snowstorms, putting on all the stuff and the snow beating against you. It's 20 degrees or colder and you're shoveling the snow and you're freezing. I don't miss that at all." Now, it's beautiful to look at, but to operate around is another story. In fact, just like when we have hurricane warnings down here and the grocery stores gets emptied out, same thing in the north. When they hear about a snowstorm coming, man, everybody heads to the grocery stores. You get all the food you can. You pack in. We used to do as much as we can doing that. And then they say, "Man, get all the firewood in." And so we gather a bunch of firewood just in case we'd lose electricity. And we'd hunker down for a little bit and, man, let the storm come. And everything would be peaceful outside. But the storm was raging. Well, that's what happened in these guys. Let me ask you another question. Sometimes the storms are storms in our lives that hit us. Sometimes we go through a marriage storm, and sometimes we have a parenting storm, and sometimes we get a phone call from the doctor, and it's not the report we wanted, and now we're in a health crisis storm. And sometimes you didn't really plan it out that way, but man, all of a sudden something comes up into your life, and there's a storm that we have to face in life. I may have ever gone through one of those storms before. I guarantee you, most of us have and will go through storms in our lives. Whether it's a career storm, a marriage storm, a parenting storm, a financial storm, storms come at us sometimes at the most unannounced times. That happened to Joyce and I. We were getting ready to take our girls to grandma's and grandpa's house for Christmas. And my mom and dad are traditionalists, and we were living about 40 minutes away from them, and they wanted to have the girls over for a sleepover and for the weekend to make Christmas cookies and do all the Christmas things that my mom loves to do and watch Christmas movies and spend time with grandma and grandpa. And we were anxious to drop the kids off. And so we wanted a break, and so we planned a weekend too. And we said, man, we're going to drop the kids off at grandma's. And after we do that, you know, we had some Christmas shopping we wanted to get done, and we had some other things that we wanted to do, and we just wanted to have relaxation time. And so we dropped both girls off, and we did our thing, and in the middle of the night, the phone rang. How many know when the phone rings in the middle of the night, it's usually not good news? And my mom was on the other end of the line, and she says, Bob, she goes, you got to get down here. We don't know what's happening, but Kayla is having a hard time breathing. We don't know how serious it is, but maybe you guys want to come down and get her. I said, sure, we'll be right there. And we changed clothes and drove 40 minutes down. We walked in, and it was much worse than we thought it was going to be. She had stopped breathing several times, and she was gasping for air, our little three-year-old. And so Joyce grabbed her, wrapped her in a blanket, and we got it, put her in the back seat of the car with Joyce, and I got in the front seat, and we were dashing to the hospital, and we were going as fast as I can, and I heard these words in the back seat, no, 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 baby, keep breathing. No, 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 baby, keep breathing. No, no, baby, keep breathing. Desperate cries from a mom, and man, I was panicking, I was stressing, I was going, man, all of a sudden we were caught in a storm in life. We didn't plan it to go that way that weekend. We didn't plan to have to rush our daughter to the emergency room. Well, we got to the emergency room. They took her right in, put IVs on her, got a breathing mask on her. And she had to stay 4 days of running tests on her. How many know all of a sudden your world caves in amongst you when you go through a storm in life, and all of a sudden we didn't know what to think, what to respond. We didn't understand what was going on. That's not exactly how I thought this weekend was going to go. Man, it's not how I had my daughter's life planned out for us to be in a hospital and going through these difficult times. And so they were doing tests for 4 days to figure out what had happened to her. In fact, one of the times we got a little break, we went and got something to eat. We came back, and they were intravenously feeding her a bunch of steroids for a three-year-old, and they were just making her a little bit hyper. And so we walked out, and she started doing the trampoline on the bed in the hospital. She was just bouncing. She took her IVs out, blood things. Blood was squirting everywhere. We came in, and she goes, hey, Mommy and Daddy, you know. She was just kind of having fun doing us still. But how many know with us, man, it was something, a crisis we were going through. There was a storm in our life that was unexpected. And so we got the news that she had acute asthma, and this would affect her the rest of her life. That she wasn't going to be able to live a normal childhood life. She wasn't going to be able to be active. And so we took in that news and took the little three-year-old home. And every day for 3 days, we'd hook her up to an oxygen mask with medicine in it. A little mask going on. I'll never forget. Little blonde hair, blue eyes. And she would sit there just kind of quietly letting the breathing machine do its thing. I thought, God, in the storms of our life, what do we do? How do we respond? What do we do when storms come in our lives? Today, I'm going to give you four storm strategies. When you're caught in a storm in life, these are four things you can do, taken out of our scripture this morning in Acts 27. We're going to continue to read these stories. Four storm survival strategies. First point is this: stay on the ship. In verse 29 and 30, it said this: fearing that we would be dashed against the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern and prayed. What's the first thing when a storm comes into our life that we do? We what? Come on, what do? We what? We pray. I don't know about you, but the first thing that comes into our lives when we're going through a storm, man, we begin to pray. And they prayed for daylight. How many know when you're going through a storm, you say, God, just help us get through. Just help us get to tomorrow. Just help us get through the next day. That's what these guys were doing. They say they prayed for daylight. The storm was coming. The winds were coming, crashing against them. And in an attempt to escape from the boat then, the sailors let down the lifeboat from and into the sea. They were pretending that they were going to lower some anchors from the bow. Church, let me talk to you, because this is a safe place. When you're going through a storm in your life, don't pretend everything's all right when it's not. Seek out help. Seek out prayer warriors. Seek out some help that you can get for your marriage or the parenting or whatever you're going through in your storm of life. Come to the church. Begin to understand, man, as we're praying, we're believing God to help you through your storm. Don't walk through a storm alone. Let the body of Christ help you. This is a safe place. We love you. In fact, most of us have walked through storms. Many of us have come to church because of a storm in our lives and brought us to a relationship with God. Don't pretend it's all right when it's not. Joyce and I, first thing we did when Caleb was going through that, man, we called our support group and we said, man, begin to pray. Church began to pray. Everybody we knew, man, begin to pray. Pray, pray, pray. We didn't cry out except for to our team and said, pray with us because we're going through a crisis. We're going through a storm in our lives. So the first thing they did is they prayed. It's interesting that the first thing they did was pray. In the very next verse, they tried to find a escape or second plan. And then there's sometimes we pray, 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 God, help me get through the day. But I have a backup plan just in case the prayer doesn't work. That's what these guys did. They said, well, I'm going to pray, but then we're also going to maybe test out these lifeboats. Now, how many know when a hurricane's coming and you're on a ship, and this ship housed about 260-some people, how many know that probably was a pretty big ship back then? These lifeboats were little itty-bitty lifeboats, and these sailors were going, I wonder if we have a backup plan, if we just let the lifeboats down just in case we need them. That's what they were going through, the just in case. But look at verse 31, what Paul said to them. Then Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, unless these men stay with the ship, you cannot be saved. Unless they stay with the ship. When we're going through a difficult time, when a storm of life hits us, what I want to encourage you, church, is what? Stay with the ship. Stay with it. When you're having a marriage problem, the first thing you do is, man, we pray, and then, well, maybe I need a backup plan. No, 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 no. Stay with the ship. When your kids are driving you crazy and you want to turn them in for a new set of kids, stay with the ship. I know Joyce would every now and then say to me, she goes, man, I'm ready to turn in my parenting badge. And I go, no, we can't do it. We got to what? Stay with the ship. When you're going through a difficult time, you get bad news. What am I telling you to do? What? Stay with the ship. Some of you say, man, beginning of the year, I'm going to come to church. I'm going to get my family to church. We're going to do this church thing. And all hell has broken loose since you did that. And you're going, man, I don't even know if it's worth coming to church anymore. Stay with the ship. Paul's saying, you know what? If you stay with the ship, God says he's going to help you. He's going to direct you. He's going to get you to safety if you only stay with the ship. Church, stay with the ship. Let's look at verse 32, because the soldiers did something that we need to do in our lives. It says, so the soldiers cut the rope that held the lifeboat and let it fall away. Some of you need to cut the rope that you're holding on to, your backup plan. Some of you have a backup plan for your marriage. Cut the rope. Let the lifeboat go. Stay the ship. Stay the course. Stay on track. Some of you have been looking to get out of debt financially, and man, it's been difficult, and things have happened in your life. What do I encourage you to do? Cut the other part of it and stay with the ship. Second strategy that we learn from the scripture is this. Be still and chill. Come on, turn to your neighbor. Come on, just smile at him. Be still and chill. Okay, just when you're in a storm, be still and chill. Look what these guys did in verses 33 through 34. Just before dawn, Paul urged them all to eat. How many? That's a good idea, right? Says, let's all eat. Because of this, for the last 14 days, he said, you have been in constant suspense, constant stress, constant panicking, constant worrying what's going to take place, and you have gone without food. You haven't eaten anything. He says this, now I urge you to take some food. Relax. Chill. Take time to restore yourself. You need it to survive. Not one of you will lose a single hair from his head. What are you saying? 14 days you have gone without food. One thing I know is this, when we get a bad report or the storms of life come into us, what do? We have a habit of what? Either eating too much or eating too little. Sleeping too much or sleeping too little. What are we doing? We're stressing, we're worrying, we're panicking. When that hits your life, what does he say? Be still and chill. You know, worrying, panicking has never solved anything. The storm's still there. You can worry all you want. The storm's still there. So God's saying, man, be still and chill. In fact, Jesus said it this way in Luke chapter 12. In Jesus' words, he says, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about all the rest. Why worry? Be still and chill. Now, gang, I wish I could tell you I always did it the right way. Like some of you, every now and then I let stress and worry and panic just kind of grip my life and get a hold of me. In fact, one of those times happened when I was in my mid-30s and I was executive pastor at our second church that we were at. And the senior pastor was a great Bible teacher and leader, and the church was growing. We were seeing great growth in all of our areas, and we were looking at expansion and building a new building. We're in the middle of all those projects, and a lot of that was on my plate to carry out and make sure it happened. And I was overseeing the staff and our board and our elders and directing all those things. And our senior pastor came in one Friday morning and resigned on the spot. I felt all the weight of that just crashing in on my shoulders. So we went on a search for a new pastor, and all that was happening, and whether we were going to do with the building program, we started having board and elders meetings till 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the morning. We're trying to figure out what we were going to do, next steps and everything else, and they all were looking to me for direction and leadership and to hold the ship together and to hold the church together, and they said, man, and I just started feeling all the weight of that, and for months and months and months, we were having late meetings and congregational things, and what are we going to do, and what happened, and why did he leave, and there was blame being put all kinds of different places, and I was feeling the grind of it, working 70, 80 hours. Wasn't working out, wasn't resting, wasn't eating right. The weight of life had hit me. A storm had come, and I didn't even expect it or know it was coming, but it came upon me. And so what did it do? It affected me physically. In fact, we were at a social outing about 35 miles out of town, somebody's beautiful farm, and we were there, and we were having a great time with other couples. And lo and behold, I didn't know it, but my esophagus had closed, and all my food was jamming in there, and I wasn't able to breathe and eat, and I wasn't able to swallow. And I thought I was dying right there. I was passing out, and the guys were trying to do the Heimlich on me, and nothing was happening. They put me in the van and started rushing me to the hospital. On the way, somebody had called, and the ambulance met us halfway, and the guys in the ambulance put me in a gurney and put me in the back of the ambulance. I mean, I'm 36 years old, gang. I'm stressing out. Stress is almost killing me. And I'm laying there. I remember kind of going in and out and back and forth, passing out. And I remember the sirens hitting. This guy says, it's not a rendezvous, man. Put the sirens on. Let's get this guy there. And the guy was standing over me, and he had a knife. He was ready to trach me. And I just remember that. I looked up at him. I pointed my finger, and I pointed my fist. I said, don't you even think about it. I said, no way. And so with all that, they rushed me to the hospital and got me there. And through the hospital stuff, I was there. And it was a couple days in and out of the hospital. And through that whole process, they said, man, it's not what you've been eating. It's not anything else. It's stress in your life. We don't know what you do for a living, but it's stressful, whatever it is. See, stress was affecting me. All of a sudden, I had to realize, you know what, I need to change some things in my life if I wanted to survive that storm as well. The Bible says this, says, be still and what? And know that I am God. See, when we're still and know and trusting God, God says something to us as well. He said in verse 36, I love this, encouragement can come when you're still in the midst of the storm. He says, they were all encouraged and ate some food themselves. Even in the midst of the storm, if you just calm your spirit, if you just lay the phone down instead of talking to everybody, if you just quiet your soul, God says, I can bring you encouragement. I can bring you encouragement. I can bring you encouragement. Be still and chill. Allow God to bring that encouragement in the midst of your storm. Third survival point that we want to talk today about is this. Praise God in the storm. Praise God in the storm. If you're going through a storm, this is what these guys did in verse 35. Paul's doing this. After he said this, Paul, he took some bread and gave thanks to God in front of them all. Then he broke it and began to eat. The wind's blowing, the waves are crashing against the boat. And what is he saying? He says, you know what? Let's be still and chill, but you know what? I'm going to give us some food to eat. Let's thank God in amongst the storm. And amidst the storm, can you thank God? See, I think it's easy to thank God when everything's going good, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, when things are going well, isn't it much easier to thank God? When a storm in your life comes upon you, isn't it harder to say thank you? Isn't it harder to praise God in the midst of the storm? Well, I love what the psalmist said in Psalm 42. He said it this way. He says, "Why, my soul, are you downcast?" Have you ever talked to yourself that way when you're going through a difficult time, when the storms of life hitting? Why is this happening to me? Why am I down? Why am I stressing? Why am I worrying? Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Why am I disturbed? Why am I panicking? Why am I stressing? Why am I worrying? And then he goes on to say this. He says, "Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God." I will yet praise him. Some of you need to put on some yet praise in your life. You're going through the storm, yet I will praise God. My marriage is crumbling all around me, man. I'm having a storm there. Yet I will praise God. My finances are crumbling around me. I'm going in a storm that way. Yet I will praise God. I'm ready to turn those rascals in. Yet I will praise God. I got a bad report from the doctor. Yet I will praise God. How many know that's difficult to do? But something wells up inside of your soul. Wait, who was he talking to? The psalmist was talking to his own soul. He'd say, "Soul, you're going through a difficult time. I'm not going to deny that. But man, yet I will praise God." Something happens to our soul in the midst of a storm. Have you ever gone through something difficult, yet the Spirit of God rises up, yet I will praise God, and people around you look at you and go, how can you go through that difficult time and still have joy in your life? We're not happy about what's going on, but the joy of the Lord can fill our spirits when we have the yet praise in us. Some of you need to praise through until you get the breakthrough. Don't let a storm cut off or silence your praise. If you're going through a difficult time, come in, worship God. Praise God. What I like to do is I like to put on some worship music and on my earbuds, and I used to like to go for a walk, and I used to, man, I'm going through a difficult time, God, but I yet am going to praise you in amongst the storm. Third one is praise God amongst the storm. The fourth one is this, and I love this one. If you're taking notes, God can take you to your destination on broken pieces. Let me say that again for some of you. God can take you to your destination on broken pieces. Let's look at our story again in verses 41 through 44. It says this, "But the ship struck a sandbar and ran aground. The bow stuck fast and would not move, and the stern was broken to pieces by the pounding of the surf. He ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and get to land. The rest were to get there on planks or on pieces of the ship. In this way, everyone reached land in safety." The stern is breaking. It's crashing in all around. What happens when in your world, in my world, when the storm comes into our life and everything is falling apart? What happens when your marriage is falling apart, or your finances are falling apart, or your health is falling apart? What happens then? When it's just crashing and crumbling all around you, what do? I want us to watch a video of a couple from our church that their marriage was crashing around them, and they applied these principles. Let's watch this together.
You know, God has a way of humbling us, and he has a way of bringing us to that brokenness that he knows we need, but unless he takes us there, we don't go there. Melissa and our youngest daughter were searching for prom dresses online. And as they were doing that, for some reason, they went through the browsing history and came across a list of obvious porn sites. So Lisa confronted me, and there was no way to deny it. You know, it was obvious that I was going to have to make some changes if this marriage was going to survive. I was going to have to change. Once the secrets were exposed and we let them out and became vulnerable, the healing started.
I remember early on, our counselor shared with us a passage out of the book of Joel in chapter 2, where God is pleading with the people if they would turn from their sinful ways and turn back to Him and return their heart to Him, that He would come and restore all the years that the locusts had eaten and all the years that the locusts had gnawed and chewed. And I remember writing those verses out on an index card and putting them on our bathroom mirror so that we could see them every day, because I would cling to those words that everything that had been lost and stolen through our brokenness, that God was going to restore because we were turning our hearts back to Him. And we started to see miracle after miracle after miracle, and God restoring intimacy between the two of us. And we were able to connect on a level that in 25 years of marriage that we've never been able to connect on. There's nothing too shameful. There's nothing that is buried in the darkness that can't come to the light. It's scary, but when you do it, there's just, you just feel so light and feel so free.
The freedom, to experience the freedom, is worth whatever the cost it is to get there.
Yeah.
And and the cost is turn to Jesus. The three key elements to obtaining the freedom in our journey has been the Word of God, prayer, and community, and the community being the church. There's hope, you know, and God is there, and He'll use us to push you along. The Holy Spirit works through us, and He'll just push you through and walk with you, you know? He walks it through with you.
So, church, let me ask you, what do you do when your world is falling apart? What do you do when it's crashing all around you? What do you do when it's just broken pieces left of your world? See, it's one thing to be on a ship and a storm comes. The winds are blowing and the rains are coming down and it's tossing the ship back and forth. It's another thing to be on the ship, the storm comes, and the ship starts breaking apart. It's a whole other level when you're on a ship and the storm comes, it's breaking apart, and you can't swim. So where do I go? What do I do? You don't know what to do in your life, and the world comes crashing in around you. Maybe in your marriage or parenting or all these areas that we talked about today. What do you do? What do you do when it's falling apart? You do what Bill and Lisa did. You do what these guys did. They grabbed hold of a piece. God can get you to your destination on a piece of hope, a piece of trust, just on a word of God. Say, man, all I have is a word. Hold on, grab hold of that word. God can get you to your destination. All I have is a little bit of hope. My marriage is going to make it. Grab a hold of that hope, and God can get you to your destination on broken pieces. God's God of restoring. God wants to restore your marriage, your life, your finances, your health. Grab hold. Come on, church, grab hold today. Grab hold of that hope. Grab hold of what God has for you. It might, everything could be fall apart. All you have is a plank. All you have is a broken piece. That's enough for my God. That's enough for my God. Grab hold. Grab hold. Let's pray together. God, thank you when storms in our life come, and sometimes it's just falling apart all around us. All we have is to grab hold, and we grab hold of that faith, we grab hold of that word, we grab hold of our hope in you. And God, you can get us to our destination. All it takes is us to grab hold of that. So God, I just pray that our faith does not wane today, but that we grab hold of the truth of God, grab hold of the promises of God today to overcome those storms that come in our lives. And God, thank you. You give us strength that day and the next day and the next day. And God, you are merciful and kind and gracious and good to us to help guide us through those storms in our lives. So God, we're grateful. For those going through a storm right now, I pray for strength. I pray for restoration. I pray for healing. In Jesus' name, amen. Now keep your eyes closed and your heads bowed, and Maybe you came this morning and you say, Pastor Bob, I've never given my heart to Christ. Maybe you're even walking through a storm. That's what brought you in these doors today. They say, man, I've never given my heart to Christ. Or maybe you've given your heart to Christ years ago and you're just coming back. You just want to come back to God. If that's you, just between me and you, God, just slip up your hand all over the auditorium. If you say, man, I just want to return to God, or I want to give my heart to Christ for the first time. Come on, all over the place right now. All over. If that's you, yeah. Yeah. All over. Amen. Gang, that's what we're here for. See people that have broken and maybe life's coming upon them and the storms are crashing, the waves are burning. Restoration is hope, is in Jesus. Amen. Let's all pray this prayer together. Everybody all across the congregation, pray these words after me. Say, dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord and my Savior. As the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. And I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.